I want to start with a prayer. So if I could just ask you to just close your eyes, bow your heads for me. Lord God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the time that we've already had together as family in this place. And Lord, I pray for the next half an hour. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to the word that you've brought for us this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that that you would help me, Lord, to deliver the message that you want me to bring, Lord. And I pray for that this word would settle on our hearts, Lord, that it would challenge and that it would help us to grow in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this morning, the topic that I've been given as we continue looking at the series of the snowball effect was to look at lies. And it was as I began to read the Bible and as I began to prepare this message, the one thing that I found is, man, this is a hard topic. This is something that challenges me, something that challenges all of us. You know, and like Jo said last week, she gave you a heads up that, you know, there will be a response. I want to say that there will be a response today for you to make. And I think if you're not challenged and if you don't need the challenge of this, then you're a better Christian than I am. Because most days I struggle with some of the issues that I'm going to talk about today. And most days, we as Christians live in a world that is full of lies. In a world where we tread a delicate balance between trusting in the truth of God and dealing with the lies that the world tells us. And like I say, if you don't struggle with that, then you are a far better Christian than I am, because I struggle with that. And as I wrote this message for you this morning, I struggle to put into words just how important this topic is. You know, it seems to be that there is an unwritten rule about lies, that lies are no longer black and white, that there's this scale of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable as a lie. We seem to lessen the severity of lies by calling them other things, fibs, fables, tall stories, exaggerations, a whopper, a porky pie. We put strange words in front of them to make it sound less severe, like a white lie, which I find bizarre because the only other time we see that is like white wizard or white witch. It seems like such a weird use of the word white. Putting the word white before something doesn't immediately make it better, unless it's going before white tea compared to black tea, in which case it does make it better. But aside from that, we lessen the severity of lies by using other words. So where do we draw the line? Because we all tell lies. When does something that is inherently untrue become acceptable versus unacceptable? What about when we talk about Father Christmas or the Tooth Fairy? What about when someone says, does this top make me look fat? Where do we draw the line? Where is your line? Where would you not cross? What about if you're inviting someone to a surprise party? What's acceptable to tell them as a means of getting them out of the door? Is it okay to tell a lie? You all have to make that judgment every day, and I have to make that judgment. In the words of Dr. Gregory House, everybody lies. Over the last few weeks, I've had to face a challenge as what seemed like lies brought against me in my place of work. I was accused by another company of doing some things that affected a business that I look after. And I was blamed for something that another company had done. And I found that I was stuck in this position probably last 2 or 3 weeks where I'm having to fight my corner to defend my reputation, because the one lesson that I've learned through this is that sometimes it's easier to tell a lie to cover yourself. Telling lies, blaming somebody else, letting them take the rap. The world is filled with stories of people doing that. And we have to face that regularly. You see, the Bible doesn't use such niceties to describe lies. It is far more black and white. It uses words like deception, deceive, deceiver. And it talks regularly about the importance of the truth. The world we live in might seem relative, but the Bible is far more clean cut, far more clear cut. The Bible says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. We all have to deal with lies, whether that's the consequences of other people's lies, whether that's the repercussions on our life when the truth is revealed. I'm pretty sure that we could fill a morning with another message about the importance of us not telling lies. But I want to take you on a slightly different direction this morning. And I want to start with this thought. Sometimes the most popular person that we lie to is ourselves. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the lies that we tell ourselves. Lying to ourselves is more common than we might realize. In fact, the Bible refers to it lots of times. It says things like this: do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. It says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And as I sat and thought about those verses, I made a list of the lies that we often tell ourselves. And as I read this out, tell me if this sits with you, if you can relate to this. It'll be okay. It's only one time. It won't happen to me. No one will ever find out. I'm not hurting anyone else. I have the right to. Why shouldn't I? It's not my responsibility. And as we mature in our faith, then there is a weight of responsibility upon us to stop convincing ourselves that things are okay that are not okay. And this is a challenge because it means taking a good look at ourselves and looking at those things that we have told ourselves is an acceptable way to live our lives. In the Bible, it talks about looking in the mirror. It says it in James 1, about looking in the mirror and not recognizing what you see. There is a challenge there that we all have to look at ourselves regularly and look at the things that we tell ourselves and reflect upon them and say, is this the way that God has taught me to live? And is this the way that God wants me to live my life? And it's a challenge. And I think there needs to be an openness, that an honesty in our relationships, an honesty in the relationships we have with other people at church, so that we can become vulnerable. And that we can seek help when we need it. You see, if lies and truth are in contrast to one another, then so is darkness and light. When we lie, when we deceive ourselves about the things that we do, we have a tendency to keep that within us, to keep it private. And what happens is that where it's kept in the darkness, it spreads and it grows. You could say that it snowballs when we keep it hidden. But if you think about those things like a plant, when we keep them underground in the damp soil, the roots will grow and they'll spread out and they'll strengthen. And then when that root needs pulling up, it becomes a harder thing to uproot because it's been established in our life for so long. But when you pull out a plant and the roots are exposed to the light, they wither and they dry up and they die. You see, when we uncover the sin in our lives, in the light of God, then the sin can no longer have a hold on us. The great news is that we have a God that wants us to share our lives with one another, that gives us this community of people who we share our lives with, this family that we call church. And it says how good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Well, unity must come with sharing our lives. It has to come with openness and it has to come with honesty. You see, without that, we're left as individuals lying to ourselves about the way we choose to live our lives. Now, I would be lying if I said that over the years, I didn't need to rely upon the support of different people in this church as I struggled with the sins in my own life, because I have. There are times when going through difficult situations, I've had to call on Matt and Paul and Joe and speak to them and talk to them about the stuff that I've been struggling with. But the great thing is that when I have done that, that burden that we keep to ourselves is released. Like I said, I found this a hard topic because I find that I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself saying, James, every day, is there something in your life that you need to change? Is there something in your life that you need to say, God, I'm sorry that I told myself this was okay, because it's not okay? And, you know, I could list countless things that I've struggled with and countless things that God's challenged me on. But that's what being a Christian is all about. That's what living a Christian journey of faith is all about. It's about today, God, reveal something new to me so that I can refine it. God, reveal something new to me again. So that what is it today that's in my life that's not right, that I need to get right with you? God, what is it today that I've done where I've convinced myself that this is okay and it's not? Every day. And like I said at the beginning, if you're sitting here going, I never lied to myself, then you're a better Christian than I am. Because most days I struggle with it. You see, lying to ourselves is not the only type of lie that we deal with. You see, we also have to deal with the lies that other people tell to us. And sometimes they can be just as hard. You see, as we grow in maturity in our faith, we are surrounded by people that will tell us things that are just simply not true. I sat down with my daughter just a couple of days ago and we had a conversation. Actually, the conversation started because we were talking about children that are homeschooled. And she was asking what that meant. And the conversation led on to some of the reasons why people might homeschool their kids. And I explained to her that, do you know what? One of the biggest reasons that people choose to homeschool their kids, which I don't do, I send Grace to St. Michael's School, is because of the lies that are taught in school. And I had this conversation with her and said, there are things that I personally don't agree with that you will be taught at school. And you might say, you might disagree with me, and that's okay. But I told her, do you know what? When you get into school and you get bigger, you'll be taught about evolution and you'll be taught that the world is millions and billions of years old. Now, you might agree with that. That's up to you. But I said, do you know what I believe? And what I believe the Bible says is that that's not true, that the Bible says that the world was created by God in 7 days. And feel free to come and tell me why you think I'm wrong. But that is what I taught my daughter, that, do you know what? You will have to face a challenge of whether you listen to the world or whether you listen to what I believe the Bible is telling you and what God is telling you. And we have that responsibility to teach our kids, actually, you need to think about what you're being told. As a leader of this church and as an elder of this church, I feel the weight of responsibility about the messages that you are brought every Sunday morning. Because do you know what? The Bible says that we as teachers will be judged more harshly for what we teach you So if I teach you something that is a lie, I have to answer to God for that. And I am challenged, especially that I find more and more as we get things, people like guest preachers in. And I'm sure Joe would say the same thing, that there is a challenge that you think this guy had better, or lady had better be preaching the truth. And the challenge of what do you do if they say something you don't agree with fundamentally? I mean, we have great speakers here. But there is a weight of responsibility upon the church to bring the truth of the Bible to you. It says this, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. It only takes one small lie to come into church through a bad message for the doctrine of the church to be affected. One small lie, and then before you know it, we all believe something about God that's not true. One small false teaching can infect the whole church. So it's important that we uphold what is true. When we lie, when we exaggerate, when we say those things, we cause the body to become torn apart. The Bible says, do not lie to each other. As we spend time with our friends in church, it's important that we speak the truth. We live every day with the lies that people share, the lies that people tell us. They say things like this, you need to fit in. That's not how the world does it. You need to follow the crowd. You need to live for yourself. The world just isn't like that anymore. People don't believe that anymore. And we deal with that all the time. And it becomes harder and harder as a Christian to stand up and say, this is the truth. When you feel like everybody in the world tells you that you're wrong. I could quite easily go off onto many tangents at this point about things that the world tells you that is wrong. But that's not a message for today. That's a message that you have to grapple with yourselves. They say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think that a lot of people are not deliberately trying to deceive you. They're not deliberately trying to tell you that something is wrong. But unfortunately, some people are misguided in their opinions. So surely the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we go into the world so that we can teach people what they do not understand, so that it could become revealed to them, so that they know the truth. So inherently, the majority of people that you speak to on a daily basis do not know the truth of God. So their opinions, their attitudes come from a place of not understanding who God is and what he's done for them. And we can get so sucked into accepting things. In the same way that for those of you that use Facebook, every now and again, you find a message pops up and it's something about how brilliant it is to be British. And you think, yes, I'm so proud to be British. And you share it and you don't look at the political party that have written that statement and what actually their motives are behind the lovely, nice, sentimental message about isn't Britain brilliant? Because we get sucked into it. In our personal lives, me and Diana struggling with something at the moment where someone that's very close to us is getting themselves into things that are dangerous for them. Talking about things like spiritualism and things like this, where they're sharing stuff on Facebook and we're going, God, please, this is so bad. Please protect us from these things that are lies that they've been told. There are things in the world that are based upon a lie. There are things in the world that seem innocent now, but their origins and their basis are on things that are lies. And again, I'll say something that is probably a controversial statement, and you feel free to come up to me and tell me what you think about this statement. But let me tell you a situation that we were in recently. We went round to somebody's house. And we were just chatting, having a cup of tea. And the person's house that we went to offered to teach Grace some yoga moves. Now, you might go, just yoga. But for me, as a Christian, I believe that the fundamental origin of yoga is on Eastern religion. And I actually would not be happy. So I had to say to this person, actually, I don't want you to teach Grace these yoga moves. Now, you might go along and you might just want to do some exercise. But I have to tell you that my conscience says that where that started is not what you perceive it to be. Now, like I say, that's a controversial statement to make, because probably many of you might either go to yoga or not have an issue with it. But there are loads of things like that where we have to make a stand and say, what is appropriate? What is a lie? What is the truth? And it challenges us every day, because we have to walk that line of discerning. Is this okay? Is this okay? And we have to navigate that path. You know, the issue with things like yoga is not necessarily what people do when they turn up to a yoga thing and do it. And I feel like I'm going on a bit of a tangent, which I promised I wouldn't do. But the problem is that many of those lies that people have about what is right and wrong and what is acceptable and is not have not been told them by something that is innocent. In fact, the Bible is very clear about who deceives people. The Bible says that the devil, that Satan, is the father of lies. It says this: you belong to your father, the devil, and you wanted to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The very first lie was the devil talking to Eve. And the world has been built upon so many lies. The origin, that where the origin of those lies is the devil. So the things that I struggle with, the things that I have to say, actually, I don't agree with Grace getting involved in that, doesn't come from a point of, I just don't like the person who's doing it. It comes from a fundamental point that I believe that some of these things that the world does is based upon the lies of the devil. And that's a hard message to bring to you this morning. I hope you appreciate that. That is, as I sat and I wrestled with what I would bring you this morning, off the back of a great time of worship and encouragement and the greatness of it being Father's Day, and let's celebrate fathers. There is a challenge there that is a hard challenge to bring. You see, the devil's lies are the same lies that he always brings, that he's been bringing for generations. And he says things like this: you're not good enough. How could they ever love you? If they really knew what you've done. And the most famous of all, did God really say that? So that might seem like a bleak thing to be saying, but the great news is that amongst that what we have to deal with is some amazing news. And that is this: God gives us everything we need to live a life that is filled with truth. God cannot tell a lie. It says this: God did this so that by two unchangeable things, it is impossible for God to lie. It says God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. God does not lie. He gives us the truth. He gives us the Bible. We must follow the truth that he gives us. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We serve a God that has given us everything we need for this life. Everything we need to look at the things that the world tells us and make a judgment. The simple truth is this: if it contradicts what the Bible says, then it's not true. The Bible is the word of God. That's what I believe. I believe that it is God breathed, that he inspired the men that wrote the Bible. He inspired them with his words. He breathed his words. He breathed his spirit into them. That's what I believe at the Bible. I believe that the Bible is the way that I can judge the situations that I'm faced with in my life. We know the truth because the truth is in the Bible. We know that there is one God, the God of Abraham, that there is one salvation in Jesus Christ. We know that God tells us how to protect ourselves from, what does it say? It says through the burning arrows of the evil one. It talks about the helmet of salvation. It talks about us filling our lives with truth as a way to protect ourselves from the lies that we face every day. It says that we should test. It's specifically talking about prophecies, but it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. I want to challenge you. When you're sat there and I'm here and I'm talking, I've already told you that there is a weight of responsibility on me that what I bring is the truth, but there is a weight of responsibility on you to not just idly accept what I'm telling you. There is a weight of responsibility that if you go, I really don't know that I agree with what James says this morning, that you go home and you look up in your Bible and then you make a judgment. We test everything. But we use the Bible as our measure. As I was talking to Paul Isherwood earlier this week, he was talking about how it's, can't remember who it was that says that the Bible is like a ruler. How do you know if a line is straight? You put a ruler against it. How do you know that if something is true, you measure it against the Bible? What a great principle for us to live our lives by. That we read the Bible. And if we're not reading our Bible and if we're not listening to the truth, then how do we expect to be able to make those judgments? Let me end with one final thing. The Bible talks about one other sort of story to explain something, and it talks about there being two different gates. You see, we all have a path to choose. It says, enter through the narrow gate. It says this in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You see, there are two gates. The wide gate is easy. The path through the wide gate is filled with people who think they're going in the right direction. The second gate is narrow. It's difficult. Maybe it's steep. Maybe it's rocky. There are few people on that path. It will take more effort. It will take more energy to go down the narrow path. But I want to leave you with this one thought as I wrap this up. When you walk down the wide path, what you take with you is everything that you have. All your worries, all your burdens, all your disappointments, all your regrets, all your fears. You carry that yourself. So while the path might be easy, the walking isn't. But the narrow path, we're told, the narrow path might be a harder path to walk, but we're told that when we walk on that path, our burdens are given to Jesus. So our yoke is light. Our burden is easy. The path may be hard, but we're not carrying a rucksack full of stuff. And I want to challenge you, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. You see, maybe one of those things, maybe all of those things are things that you struggle with the same way that I struggle with them. Maybe there are things that you know are wrong in your life and you think, I need to tell someone about this. Maybe there are things in your life where other people have told you one thing and you know it's not true, but you believe them. Maybe there are things that you feel challenged on that you need to repent of and you need to say, God, I'm sorry that I've done this. Help me get back to you. And if that is you, I want to tell you that right now there is a God who wants to say, cast your burdens onto me. Give me all of those worries. Give me all of those things. And I'll carry them.